Begin the current daf mesach the Shabbos naf the nalef. Begin amen alf. Begin a taste of maschat. Begins the words of the Gemara. Kisahu v'nizgala. If he covered it and it got uncovered, what's lechasayis is permitted to cover it? So I just going to explain that this, that the pot that was covered got uncovered. Regarding this, that it's permissible to cover it. That is, the Mishnah said that if you did atmana from Erev Shabbos and then it got uncovered, so then although you now do atmana liketchila on Shabbos, even something that's not mizbevel, but if you had already covered it, gave him uncovered, then you let it go ahead and go and recover it on Shabbos. So Taisus brings that near Lari, it appears to the Ri that actually the Huad din the Mutta la Galoisa B'Yadayim. Truth is, it's not only as the way the wording of the Mishnah is, which is, seems to indicate only if it got uncovered through other means. No, even if someone actively went and uncovered it, b'lachzer u'lachasaisim, and then he's permitted to go ahead and recover it. And what's his proof? Just like regards to halachas shi and chazar, the halacha is that you're allowed to take it and put it back. That's the whole halacha of chazara. Although you now do shihi on Shabbos and the sin l'ketchila, but if it had already been on from before Shabbos, you're allowed to put it back on. Same things regarding atmana. Regarding that gezer drabanan, that the truth is you could do the same thing. Although you now do it initially that mana, but to put it back is permitted to be done on Shabbos. So then the question is, and why the wording of the Mishnah sound like that if you covered it and got uncovered, if the same thing is not only if it was passively, but even if actively you went and uncovered it, you could recover it. And that's the Taisa. The reason is because actually we're saying a bigger chiddush, which is specifically if it was only by some other means and not by the person himself, because we're not talking about on Shabbos. See, on Shabbos, you could uncover it and recover it. We're talking about that it got uncovered from before Shabbos, dumi dereisha, because it's comparable to the halacha we said just a moment ago. The Mishnah had said, if it wasn't covered from before Shabbos, then you cannot cover it on Shabbos. And that's what coming. That's what the Sefer is coming to say. But if, let's say, you had covered it from before Shabbos, and then it got uncovered by itself, then the mutter lechasayis the mishnah techshuch. Then you actually are allowed to cover it on when it got dark already. Now that specifically if it was nizgala me'atzmai, I'm gelo bi'adayim ibayyim. But yes, that's what the mishnah is coming to forewarn. But if let's say you actively with your own hands uncovered it from before Shabbos, and even it was, and here's where there's debate in the poskim what the wording exactly is over here. But the way Tais says, even if it's kedei lechasayis the mishnah techshuch, even if your intention is to cover when it got dark already at nighttime, still, no, then asr l'chasayis mishnah techshuch would be forbidden to go ahead and cover it when it's already dark, because didam l'tchilas atmana, that would be like a new initial insulating, because since you went and you took it off, that like nullified it, and yeah, on Shabbos itself, when you already had it, so then you could take it out and put it back on. But if you had did it be a dime, and then you didn't cover it till by nighttime, that would be forbidden. That's specifically the wording of the Mishnah, when this galava got revealed by itself, then you could go ahead and cover it, but be a dime, you wouldn't. And but yes, on Shabbos itself, that's what the Ri says, the latter uncovered and put it back, even if it's be a dime. It's not only if it's in the skala me'atzme. Two next days, the Maschat says, begin with the words of the Gemara, Elohai Yerbisi Kaim, if Yerbisi would be around, Hayakaf of Achul, he would be subservient to Rabbi. So I just can explain, why would Rabbi Yerbisi be subservient and sit in front of Rabbi? And that is, the Gemara had this interesting discussion that Rebbe was conceding to Rabbi Yerbisi, even though when Rabbi Yerbisi would be around, he would be subservient to Rabbi. So Pirsh Rabbeinu Shleima, so our teacher, Rabbeinu Shleima, he explains that why would that be? Machmas Nisi Usai, because of the leadership of Rebbe, of the Jewish people, that's why Rabbi Yerbisi would be subservient. Because actually, the Rabbi Yerbisi, Hay Gagam Rebbe, really Rabbi Yerbisi was greater than Rebbe. Because the Mucha Beperk Beis the Nida, like it's obvious in the Gemara, on the Nida Daf Yidal and the Beis, where the Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yerbisi, Rabbi Chama Bar Bisna. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yerbisi, he says, Rabbi Chama Bar Bisna, when he asked him a question, he says, Kedibi Rebbe Amalch, should I tell it to you like the words of Rebbe? Or Kedibi Abba, like the words of my father, that of Rabbi Yerbisi. So Amalei, so Rabbi Chama Bar Bisna said to him, Kedibi Rebbe Amalei, tell it to me the way Rebbe says it. So Amalei said, Zeu Shoyim Alav Da'odim Godlehu, this is a person that they say is a great person, meaning you Rabbi Chama Bar Bisna, Shemanich Dibe Rab, that you leave the words of the teacher, Veshameh Dibe Talmud, you hear the words of the students, meaning you see that Rabbi Yerbisi was the Rebbe of Rebbe himself, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and therefore, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara, he would have been subservient to Rebbe, even though really he was the greater of the two. But Rabbeinu Tam Mefarash, she explains, and the Mefarashim explained that why Rabbeinu Tam says what he's about to say is he found Rashi's interpretation difficult. Because according to Rashi, so there's no proof from the fact that Rebbe ruled like Rabbi Yerbisi, as the Gemara says that, oh, that he was Machavim, that he was so dear to him, because maybe this that he ruled like him was because he was his Rebbe. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam comes to say that no, actually, Rebbe was not necessarily lower down. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarash explains, right, as we see from that Gemara over there, most definitely initially Rebbe was the student of Rabbi Yerbisi. But subsequently, Rebbe became very wise. Like the Gemara says over there, in that same Gemara, and therefore, he wasn't necessarily any less than Rebbe Yisi. Now, but Tosfos explains, Rebbe Chama, who, why did he want to hear the opinion of Rebbe and not the opinion of Rebbe Yisi, if Rebbe Yisi was the Rebbe? So but he held Rebbe Resh Masifta. Rebbe was the Rosh Yeshiva. So he has all the students, all the rabbis by him. Although he's a student, but still his teachings are going to be sharper than Rabbi Yisi, and therefore that what we say over here in our Gemara, that Rabbi Yisi was subservient in front of Rebbe, was after Rebbe was Neschakim because of all the students. And again, although Rabbi Yisi was greater, Rabbi Yisi would be subservient to Rebbe, because on some level we find Rebbe, that's the two interpretations, is because the Rebbe was the Nasi, or no, because really Rebbe was Neschakim, and because he had all the Rabbanim by him, so although maybe Rebbe was greater, but still it makes sense to be subservient to that of Rebbe. Then the next text, the Masoret begins the words of the Gemara, Ketzer Uoyser. So, well, how can you do this? Shem Glilami says, Naitlis Asadina V'chulu, you take the cloths and you switch it with a coat, etc. Shem explained that actually the Tanakhama is in this dispute with Shem Glil. That is, the Braisa said that even though you now go do hatmana, insulating liketchila when it's dark, even something that's not mitzvah hevel, but if let's say you had concealed it from before Shabbos, then you're allowed to add on insulation on Friday night. On that, the Braisa says, which is what a Tosfos Demaskil is going on, so Ketzer Uoyser, how is it done? Which it sounds like from those words is that now the Braisa is coming to qualify the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, oh, what you do is you could take the cloths and you could put coats, or exactly the opposite. And that's the case near Lareel or Arva Pyrus, the Leugers in the Ketzer Uoyser. One should not have this text of, oh, how should this be done? Because that sounds like as if he's coming to qualify the teaching of the Tanakhama, which was that you just to go ahead and add on. But the truth is, no, the Rishon Gula Palga Tanakhama is coming to disagree with the Tanakhama. Because the Leishari Allah Haisim, the Tanakhama only permits one to add on, Avalahachlif Asa, but to switch, not to add on what you have, but actually to exchange it for something else, that's forbidden according to Tanakhama. But Rishon Gula, Shari Avalahachlif, but from the words of Rishon Gula, we see clearly that he holds that you could even switch. And Bakoshkin Lito Lahachza is a dove, for sure he holds that you're allowed to take off and put back that same thing, that's for sure not so much of an initial insulating if you're putting back the same thing, because he holds you could even switch it for some other covering. And says Taisus, and that makes sense behind the comment. That's what the Braisa continues later on. It says, and so Tibshimlu says, a different chiddush in the laws of Atmana. Kolema, what does it mean, Vechain? That he had another leniency that he had regarding the laws of Atmana, besides the fact that he said you could change the covering. He also says that it's going to be lenient regarding when you're putting into a second kettle that you could insulate that to. As we continue to the next taste of Masoch, it begins the words of the Gemara, which was this opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, another leniency he had. But if you go ahead, although you cannot do Atmana l'ketchila on Shabbos, but if you went and you poured out the contents from one kettle to a second kettle, meaning what's called a klisheni, then what to actually then you'll let initially do a hatmana bedava sheni meizvevel on Shabbos. So I just come to tell you what's the understanding of this heter of doing hatmana if you moved it from one kettle to another kettle. What's bothering Tosfos is that if that's the case, as the Gemara says, because you're cooling it off, so why you would for sure wouldn't come to heat it up. So why does the Gemara previously on daf lamet chesam beis have a doubt regarding are you allowed to go ahead and put back a pot on the stove on Shabbos? If it was not, you're allowed to do chazara with certain conditions, but the Gemara has a doubt regarding if, let's say, it's not the initial original kettle. You moved it into another pot, into another kettle. Why does the Gemara have a doubt? What remains with that doubt? What do you mean? Our sogya here, we see clearly that if anything, it's more of a leniency when you're putting it into another kettle, more than the original one. Where here, Bahatmani and I'll do originally with the original one, but you're allowed to do it if you switch to another one. So why is that Gemara in doubt with regard to Chazar? So Tosfos explains, no, but Loidam Elahudikir. Now, you can't compare it to that halacha and parakir the boy, but parakir with the Gemara asked the question of Lamed Chazma base. Pin and Mechel Mechamau, what's halacha? Can you do Chazara? Putting it back on the stove, let's say with a blech. If you went and you switched it to another kettle, the Gemara remains with a question. Why? Because the Hasam Reitze B'chamimusin there, regarding when he's doing Chazara, when he's putting the water back onto the fire, he wants it to be hot. L'kach yesh lester k'shut zayin. So to the contrary, it would make it more problematic and should be forbidden if you went and you cooled it off by putting it to a kli sheni, because now it cooled down. So then now maybe you cannot do Chazara because you might come to fire it up. Aval hocha gabeit manda. But here in our sugya regarding insulating, kol kamo shut zayin tvei, the colder it is, shaper dami. to the contrary, that actually would be a reason to make it permissible to do Atmana, because we're not concerned that you're going to come to so much to heat it up. And where we see this, Kedam Alel, like we found regarding the laws of Atmana, Rebbe Hitru Lahatman Esatayin, the Rebbe goes and permits one to insulate something that's cold, which it sounds like that if it's cold, it's to the contrary, that's not forbidden like regular Atmana. And therefore here, the colder it is, the better it is, and therefore it's different than the case of Chazar. But then based on this concept, Tosef Im Timi, if you're going to say, Tosef has to take a second look, then the Rebbe, who he is quoted, as we said, that actually, originally, he said that it's forbidden to do Hatmana, to insulate something cold, a cool drink. Until Rabbi Shimon B'Yesi told him that his father went and said it's permitted to do Hatmana. But why was it Loyal de Le'el? Why didn't he know originally? The Mutala Hatman said something, and ultimately he retracted. But he originally said it's forbidden. Why didn't he know that for sure it's permitted to insulate something that's cold? But v'chiliyada d'shmilei ma'avu ha'cha, didn't he know his father's teaching that we quote over here, who his father, Shimon B'Leil, d'shari, that it's permitted? In other words, from the fact that our Gemara quotes this braisa, that Shimon B'Leil said it's permitted to do atmana, when you went and you switched it from the first kettle to the second kettle to the klisheini, because then you're coming to cool it down, and therefore there's no concern that you're going to come to heat it up. So then you should learn that you are allowed to insulate something that's cold, because you see that when it's cooler, it's better off. So Seshna B'Yashlam, what you could say is, no, the hachadavki, maybe only here, when you switch it from one kettle to another kettle, then it would be permitted to insulate initially on Shabbos. Why? Because the muchach milsa shen eskav latzan, because, and here's the point, that because it's obvious that his intention is to cool it down. Like the words of the Gemara, because you obviously want to cool it down if you moved it from the original Kli Rishon to a Kli Sheini. So therefore, we're not concerned you're going to come to heat it up. Avakitin shalmayim, but a flask of water, dolei muchach mid, there's no obviousness over here. There's no indicator here what exactly his intent is. Maybe heyos lahatman, they would be forbidden to insulate it, because maybe he might come to heat it up. And therefore, that was why Rebbe originally was able to say that insulating something cold actually would be forbidden, even though he knew his halach of his father here regarding the laws of Atmana. And this is my taste of Rebbe Yehuda from the taste of Rebbe Yehuda. Taste differentiated in the opinion of Rebbe between Chazara on the stove, because there you want the heat, so then it should be forbidden, even if you, and that was the doubt, even if you went moved it from the Kli Rishon to the Kli Sheni of the Mecham, in contrast to the Sugya V'Atmana, that since he doesn't want it to be hot, and that's why he moved it to a second pot, so it's permitted to insulate it where that's better, and that better even than that of the Tzainin, because here your intention is you're showing you want to cool it off, and therefore that's even why Rebbe was able to have the doubt on regarding maybe that Lahatman Tzainin is actually forbidden. Begins the words of the Gemara. Or another case is if, let's say, insulated with something which is around the walls of the pot that could be moved, but it covered on top of the pot with something that cannot be moved, that is muksa. Tosfos comes to explain that why is it forbidden to shake off the pot cover from the pot itself? That is, the Braisa was saying all these different cases related to laws of Atmana, but as they relate to muksa. If, let's say, you insulated and you covered the pot with something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, or even, if, let's say, you surrounded the pot around it with something that could be moved, but, as our Tosfos Masechta is going on, but the covering is something that can, on top of the cover, something that cannot be moved. So if part of the pot is revealed, so then you could hold on to the pot and shake it off. But if not, then it's forbidden to move it because you have no way of holding on to the pot. Now, says Tosfos Hikshe B'Kuntres, Rashi has the following question. It says that, in regard to this case of the different maskil, where you insulate it with something around the pot that it could be moved, but it's just you covered the top with something that cannot be moved, why is it that you can't move the pot, even though none of the cover is revealed, it's all covered with the mukta item on top? But what do you mean? Yifana sevivav. You go ahead and clear the whatever you insulated all around the wall, and grab a hold of the wall of the pot, and lift it up, and then tilt it towards the side, and then you'll have whatever mukta on top of the pot will fall off. We learned this in the Mishnah later on. Kufman Bezim Beis says, let's say you had a pot, you had a barrel, and on top was a rock. Now, you can't just tilt it because there's other jugs over there that might shatter. So what you do is, you lift it up, and then you move it to a place where there's no other thing, and then you tilt it off. So you see that even though there's something mukhs on the top, you're allowed to move it and have it fall down. So why don't you do that here too? Matar Rashi answers the whole kamina and hasa b'shachach. The sugya over there explains that that halacha and that mishnah over there is only if you forgot the rock on top, and therefore it's not a buses, and therefore you just can't move the muktzah, but you could move the barrel that's holding it, and then it, because it's not a base for that, and therefore it can fall off. But when you place it over there intentionally, now not only is the thing that's muktzah on the top muktzah, but the whole pot in this case becomes a base for that, and now the pot itself is muktzah. Therefore, you can't clear away the pot to go ahead and move the pot, because the pot itself is also like a muktzah item now. That's how Rashi explains. But because this taste is difficult, because if you're considering over here this halacha of whatever you put on top as the insulation on top of the pot, as deliberately placed on the top, Simkain, then how do we understand the other part of this halacha? The Braisa said, "B'megula miktsasa," if part of it is uncovered, then we said that you go ahead and move it, and it's permitted. But heichnoik l'machzer, how could you take it and return it afterwards to its place? But ma bein zel le'evin shapiachav, how is this any different than the stone on top of the barrel, where it's not covering the whole top of the barrel, and still does shrinim b'maniach? We forbid you to move the whole barrel if it was the rock was intentionally placed over there. Afilah hatesaltid, even to tilt it on its side, because the whole thing becomes a base for what's on top of it. So how does it help that some of it is uncovered, as if you could move the pot cover? No, the whole pot cover becomes mukz, not only the part that's touching the rock. Void kosh rabbein tam. Another difficulty for rabbein tam is dotznan. It's a mishnah that we had on the memtes meralv regarding when you insulate in the shearings of wool, which, although it's not moist available, you could insulate, but they're muksi, now let's move it. So the Mishnah says, what should you do? So it said, noyeres akisu, what you do is that you shake off the cover, which was muksa, vehein noyflis, and the gear shearings of wool are going to fall down. Now, Taisis presumes from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't differentiate, it's a fila enem megula miktsasen. Even if some of the pot cover is not uncovered, rather the whole pot is insulated in the shearings of wool, that still you're good and tilt it and make it fall down. But based on what we're saying, how could you hold on to the pot and shake up the shearings of wool if it's all muktzah? So therefore, the Taisis disagrees with the interpretation of Rashi. And Balkanam Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that could actually delay chashav kimaneach. It's not like the way Rashi is saying that here it's different, here it's more severe, that it's because as if you placed it. Because it's not considered as if you placed it over there. Why not? Since your intention is to take off that mukts item that's on top of the pot on Shabbos, obviously that's why you're insulating so you can eat the pot on Shabbos. So it cannot become a busis. A busis is only if your intention was that the mukts item should be on there throughout the whole Shabbos. Now, so to the Gemara, later on, the Kumim Gimel Menaf, the Mishnah teaches us, they say, what you have is, let's say, at the end of the meal, you have some mukta items, shells, and all these bones that are mukta. What do you do? So, Bishamim, they say, you could take off from the table, at some Beklifim, take off the bones, take off the peels, and that's not a problem. Bishulim, they say, no, you can't do that, but Masalik is a tavla menat. What you could do is that you could take off, the pick up the table, and then you could shake it off. Now, but one thing is, you see that even though, according to that interpretation of Bishulim, that they're considered mukta, it's not considered as if it was deliberately placed there, which they were. Why not? Because your intention was to ultimately take it over. It wasn't there to stay the whole Shabbos. So therefore, that's not muksa. So then ties back to the question. So then how do we understand over here that the pot is if it's not a busis, because it wasn't meant to be there the whole Shabbos, then why can't you shake off the cover by revealing the sides, get to the sides, because that's bedava she'enimai, that's something that is nitel, and then you could shake off whatever's on the top. And that's the Beintam. No, here in our sugya, the reason why you can't do that is because Bekisu Ke'in Klichas. We're talking about a unique case. We're talking about the cover is like an earthenware vessel, Shanoisim al Kadeir, that you put on the pot, Shakadeir Belua Beteicha, that the pot is absorbed inside of it. In other words, it's inside the cover. And the E.F. Shalanar Kisu, you can't shake off the cover, and Kinyag Biuk Tsas. You would have to first lift up the pot cover a little bit because it's like submerged inside the pot. So therefore, no, even if the walls are bedavish and nitel, it's not going to help. As long as the top is bedavish and nitel, you're stuck because you can't get the pot cover off because all of it is covered with the mukta item. It's not going to help to shake it off. It's going to still be stuck on the top. And therefore, we said if it's totally covered, then you're not going to be able to move it on Shabbos. The Rima Farish has a similar interpretation. But a different case. He says, "Kegoyin shetamen hakadeir bekupa." We're talking about where you had insulated the pot in a box. Yes, and what's around it is bedava nitel. But remember, it's in the box. Ulamalam hakadeir, and on top of the pot, mile kol hakupa bedava shenitel. The whole top of the box is filled with something that cannot be moved. Oh, so you have the same idea like Rabbeinu Tam, but a different case. Sheyef shelo legi like there again, you cannot get to the pot. Unless you first move the thing that cannot be moved with your hands, because the whole thing, yes, you can't get to the sides of the pot because it's in the box, and the top of the box, which is open, is all covered with muksa items, and therefore you can't go ahead and shake it off. And as the Mefarshim explained, although the Mishnah teaches that from Tesem and Al, when it's insulated in the shearings of wool, that you could shake off, and then the shearings of wool fall down, it's Tumah, we insulate something that can be moved, and the Gizin that cannot be moved are on the top, but therefore you could get around to it, and you could shake off the Gizin. Here we're talking that it's in a box that cannot be moved. So Tesem told us, according to Rashi, that if you place the thing on top with the intention of being there, that's considered maniach. And therefore the pot is going to be bustled of Aster, in contrast to the Gemara later on that was regarding forgetting. But Rabbein Tam of the Rehold that no, where if it's not your intention to be the whole Shabbos, it's not considered like as if you placed it, rather like you forgot it. Then why is it forbidden to move it over here is, again, two different interpretations, because you can't get to the sides either because it's in the box or because the pot cover is, even if you get to the sides, but the pot cover itself is submerged inside, it's not going to help until you actually go ahead and lift it up, which is problematic because it's all covered with the mukta item on the top.